Hello and welcome back to another podcast. This week on the Start Creating podcast, I talk to you about my new laptop upgrade, which makes me so giddy, like a big fat man having his own personal Christmas in the middle of the year, right? Because I'm slightly nerdy, right? And so excited, but terrified to break it. We talk about the YouTube verification ticks and how they are going away, but no, they're not. And as my cold continues to get worse, my voice goes deeper, and I talk to you about how you can make money on YouTube and social media outside everything else, and it doesn't matter how many subscribers you've got. Are you ready? Here we go! Hello and welcome to the Start Creating podcast, a podcast dedicated to helping you grow on social media, from YouTube to Instagram and so much more. I am your host, Alan Spicer, your YouTube certified expert. I have around about 12 years worth of experience in this industry, from web development to social media marketing and video editing in itself. This podcast will be about news, tips, tricks, and your submitted questions should you need any help within the social media space. So follow, subscribe, enjoy the ride, go out there, start creating. Hello and welcome to the Start Creating podcast, episode 18. I am currently putting myself through a personal hell, and I know this sounds like a first world problem, but I'm currently sat in my wonderful living room with sniffles, a cough, right, but in front of two laptops going through the hell of upgrading. Now, if you've ever done this, you know the pain that I'm going through. If you've ever been a heavy laptop or computer user, you know exactly what I'm going to tell you. I'm currently going through the whole process where you drag what has effectively been my career, around about half a terabyte worth of information from one of my laptops to my new upgrade laptop. Now, some of you may have already known, I may have mentioned this ages back, I can't remember. Right, I may have mentioned it on a live stream. I used to have a fairly good laptop. It was an i7. It was a Lenovo. It was an aggressive laptop. It had 16-ish gig of RAM at that time. And that was around about 3 years ago, 4 years ago. But, sniff. Sorry, I apologise. You're going to be listening to my wonderful mucus from my nose. But the laptop keyboard started to die, and that was after about 3 years of use. The connection at the back started to go, and then that dreaded moment where, like, the A button doesn't work, or the space bar's intermittent, or the Z wasn't working, you know, stuff like that. So at that time, I didn't have any money to upgrade, so I begged my mum, like, my business is fledgling, I have nothing, please, 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 mum, can I use your Argos credit card? Borrow 300 odd quid to get the basic laptop, upgrade it if I can and if I when, and then I can edit from there. Now, that meant I went from a machine that could edit a good, like, 5-10 minute video in 5 to 15 minutes to the new laptop being easily 15 to 20, 25 minutes for the same thing. But it meant I could still work. So I didn't have to worry, I could still service my clients, it would take me longer, I'd have to learn how to process stuff quicker, right, but I could still work, right, I could still earn money, and then I slowly upgraded the laptop, I added an SSD, added more RAM, that kind of thing. Now, scroll through at 18 months, and things, business-wise, are doing much better than they were when I first started the business. So, my other half convinced me, which I believe is kind of a semi-selfish and a semi-supportive method, that she convinced me that it was time that maybe I upgraded, right? Because it's a business expense, it will help me work my business better, it's not solely a selfish thing for me. But of course, she gets my old laptop, so, you know, she was a little biased. So I bit the bullet, I spent a pretty penny, and I've upgraded to my new laptop. Now, it's a XPS, Dell XPS 15, it's the newest model, it's got an i9 processor, it's got 32 gigabytes of RAM, and it's got the I think it's 1060 graphics card. I'm not 100% au fait on the names and stuff, right? Safe to say, this should slice through video files like a knife through butter, especially in HD. I apologize for my sniffing. And it should do fairly well with 4K as well. The bench tests that I've seen online is that a good 5 minute 4K clip can be done in around about 6, 7, 8 minutes. So almost like for like. Whilst I imagine if it could do that to 4K, it's going to absolutely piss all over HD footage, which is brilliant. That's what I currently work in. I might be dabbling and exploring in 4K in the next few days, right? But the pain I'm going through now, other than annoying the living crap out of you with my sniffing and my cold, right? I'll get onto that in a second, is I have to now move every file that I've ever touched in the last two and a bit years, including every email I've ever received, over to the new laptop. Because as I am my only person, I am my secretary, I am my salesperson, I am me, I am my presenter, I am my video editor, right? Because I am a solopreneur, an entrepreneur with just one person, it means that I need to try and keep track of records, especially considering I've transitioned my business over the last couple of years. I used to do a lot of web development work, and I like to try and keep hold of my records just in case I need to go back and go, oh, okay, yeah, you're so-and-so, you're that website. I think I've still got that email address, I think I've still got that password, or I think I've still got those export files, etc, etc. So, at the moment, I'm going through that process of, I don't have a data dump cable. Who does? Who has a transfer cable as standard, right? So, it was on a whim that I decided to buy this laptop. It was Friday night that I was like, okay, it's going to happen, and then it arrived. Next day delivery on like Sunday morning once it was done, right? So I didn't have any preparation. I've got like an SD card, which I record my videos onto, and a USB stick, which is 256 in space, right? 256 gig, right? So it's okay, but it's not the highest of speed. So I'm having to drag little bits over a bit at a time, right? Remembering, right, I can use this app if I've got these files. Great, done. I can use these client videos if I pull those over. Okay, done. I can now move all of my email backups and then start using that. Done. What software do I need? Adobe, PaintShop Pro, Photoshop, you know, all of those. I'm just going through the hell of moving them over, right? But yeah. So, for everyone that's interested, the new laptop pretty much looks like a MacBook. It's metal plated. It's just got Dell on the top rather than an Apple. XPS 15, 32 gig of RAM, i9 processor, which clocks at anywhere between 2, 4, and 5 gigahertz. It's a beast, right? And it was a pretty penny. I've insured it. I don't buy things for myself that often. I really suck at giving myself something. Now, this was discussed by my other half, in which, like, you know, well, it's, you know, you don't have to feel guilty. It's not 100% for yourself. It's for the business, right? It happened when we got the camera as well. I was just absolutely terrified that I'll drop the camera, that I'll press a button and it explode, and then I've lost 600-700 quid or whatever. So that was a really bad sniff. I apologize. So yeah, I'm pleased. It looks beautiful. It's in 4K and a screen, everything, right? But I'm going through that moment where you transfer it, and it's just, oh. Not to mention, finally, my other half went back to work last week, and right, she's supposed to go back after her surgery and go on light duties, right? Now, I can't explain what she does, but things hit the fan. And she's a manager at this place. So she's now, instead of going in light duties and easing herself in because, you know, sore after a surgery. No. She ended up working like easily 50 odd hours within like 4 days, including till like 1 o'clock in the morning one evening dealing with some staff issues. It's just ridiculous. So she's picked up all the bugs from where she works and she's brought it back to Boss, right? My little one's a bit sick, which only fuels the issue. And then I'm now becoming sick because my other half was sick, even though I was sick last weekend. So, yeah. At the moment, I'm playing that game of how much patience do I have versus how much time is it going to take? I just want to hit the floor running, getting everything up and going. Now, I know that there is software out there that could have transferred it all for me, but I tried it, and because you have to either have a data cable for it to be quickest, or you use Wi-Fi. Wi-Fi, it goes on the speed in which you can upload and then download. So my download and upload speed isn't too bad for the UK, right? It's anywhere between 150 to 200 down. The problem is we don't get matching, so you only get 20 megabits per second up, which means it sends it from the old laptop at anywhere between 10 and 20 megabits per second due to the old Wi-Fi card. It then gets downloaded by the new laptop, right, at whatever speed that it's being sent from the other. Now, I was doing the mathematics. For me to send around about 800 gig of info from the old laptop to the new laptop at 20 megabits per second, it was going to take days. So that's when I gave up and decided to use the USB sticks and stuff. But that's a little brief update from my life. I'm going to deep dive into the news, where they're going to be talking about verification on YouTube and how it may or may not affect things. Now, I understand that some things have changed now as well, so we shall see. Okay, so over the weekend, YouTube seems to have done the hokey-cokey with their foot in and their foot out, and they shaked it all about. Now, initially, YouTube wanted to go out of their way to start slimming down and eliminating some people that were on the verification program. Basically, that little blue tick that you see on other platforms, YouTube's got something similar. You've either got a little musical note next to you if you're an artist, a music artist, or you've got a tick next to you if you've got more than 100,000 subscribers. Now, what they did say initially was that they'd just come straight out of the way and in a huge mass cull, they would kill off a load of verified accounts. Not kill the channel, just remove their verification. Now, this meant that a lot of people that had reached 100,000 subscribers had had their channel threatened with the little tick being taken away. And it's one of those things that it doesn't actually matter, but you've earned it anyway. And why is someone taking away something from you that you'd earned? Well, if they hadn't even given it to you in the first place, you wouldn't have even missed it. It's also one of those things that YouTube is worried that they need to start proving that people are who they are. Now, I apologise for the sniffles. I'm a little under the weather at the moment, but bear with me. So, when it comes to YouTube, in the past, they never really truly checked. So, I could create an account claiming that I am Bill Burr or any other comedian. I could upload a load of their content. As long as it wasn't struck down by copyright, I could slowly build an audience that might think that I'm Bill Burr or whatever celebrity. And then once you've reached 100,000 subscribers, that channel would qualify for verification and they'd give you a little blue tick. Now, at that point, to the untrained eye, I am Bill Burr. I can then go to advertising companies or make something really inappropriate and upload it to the channel. Now, The advertising companies would either sponsor me because I'm supposedly Bill Burr, and they'd have some kind of arrangement, but the original artist wouldn't get a slice of that pie, and it would confuse people. You could go and comment, or you could even scam people. You could start spamming out links saying, you know, hi, this is my new special, or here, go check out this, or here, go and click on that to go and get a free iPhone. You know, you've seen the links. But because they had 100,000 subscribers and a blue tick, it looked authentic. Now, in this kind of situation, that's YouTube's fault. Because they've not checked who they are or what they're doing. It could be a fan page or anything like that. So what they thought they'd do is start verifying everyone that had a blue tick. But they was going to roll back channels that couldn't prove or they didn't feel was in the right vein. So Vlogbrothers was fine, but Hank's channel, which is Hank Green's official channel, wasn't okay. PewDiePie was fine, but British YouTuber Jack's Mate wasn't. The difference between those is that Jack's Mate may not have the notoriety in the news that PewDiePie has, whilst PewDiePie is known on every website. So they was going to roll it back. Now, they said this in just a giant outreach in a blog post, and everyone went mental over it. Well, everyone that cared. Let's be honest, it doesn't really affect the average day-to-day YouTuber like me or you. And if it does affect you, then there's some light at the end of this tunnel. Now, because everybody kicked off, YouTube backpedaled around about 36 hours later and said, okay, we've heard you. We're not going to take away your verification ticks. We're not going to make you reapply or appeal. What we're going to do is anyone that's already got a tick, 100,000 subscribers, we're going to let you keep that, subject to, you know, any complaints or anything, right? And then any new people will now undergo a new verification process where you actually have to prove who you are and you actually have to prove that you are worthy of being identified as an official something. And then they'll give you the tick. Now, this does mean that the tick will be harder to get. It does mean that if you're a YouTube original creator that hasn't gone out of your way to put yourself in the local press, then you might still not get verified. But at least this way, there's no one claiming to be Beyonce, because they won't be able to give over Beyonce's ID when they get to 100,000 subscribers to claim that that's who they are. But it just goes to show that communication is YouTube's biggest problem. If they just express that, hi, we're looking at maybe changing the blue tick process. What do you think about this? What do you think about that? If they put it in a blog post for us to discuss or to vote on Twitter or social media, we could have then told them. We would have then felt part of that process and everything would have passed by, okay? And everyone would have seen it coming. They would have had their opinion and it wouldn't be such a rage thing. Hello. Sorry, that's my cat who decided to be part of the podcast today. So, at the end of the day, it seems that YouTube are learning that they need to communicate, but will they actually do it is another problem. I'm quite curious, does this verification tick thing affect you? Is this something that you cared about? Is this something that you even noticed? Or is this just one of those things that only the big boys notice or care about? I kind of notice because it's my job. I have to pay attention to social media. I have to be commenting on things on the YouTube platform. But otherwise, it doesn't affect me. It doesn't affect any of my friends that I'm aware of. So it didn't bother me. But I'm quite curious. Let me know your feelings on this. Tweet me using the hashtag StartCreatingPodcast or tweet directly at me at AlanSpicerYT and we can chat about this going forward. Now, I'm going to dive into how you can make money online. So that's the next step. And now, before I deep dive into giving you tips on how to make money on YouTube and on social media, I want to give you a little freebie This is my ebook, my YouTubing ebook with 10 tips on how to start and grow a YouTube channel. Go to alanspicer.com/ebook. That's alanspicer.com/ebook for all of those trick tips and cheats to get you started from day one. Go and download it today. There are many ways that you can make money online and on YouTube or social media. Now, I'm going to step you through ways that you can make money, but you've got to remember that this can be applied for YouTube, Instagram, anywhere really. These are the core features that you need to focus on. So, first of all, if you're leaning on YouTube, there is an AdSense model. In fact, no matter where you are, there's probably a monetization model. Now, Facebook has the ability to monetize your videos as long as you get, I think it's around about 10,000 likes on a page and certain amount of view time within a 90-day period. They don't seem to be as stringent to get those times, but there's a lot of hoops to jump through. And that's a lot of watch time for a Facebook thing. Like, I tend to find people don't watch hours and hours of stuff on Facebook. They'll just flick over to YouTube. Maybe that's a platform thing. So when it comes to making money on YouTube, you'll hopefully have the bedded in function of AdSense. These are the YouTube ads. You need to get 1,000 subscribers and a rolling watch time of 4,000 hours. That's 240,000 minutes. I tend to find that people complain about this, but it seems to be easier once you're established. Like, it took me around about 14 months to get to the watch time that was required on YouTube. I'd already breezed past the amount of subscribers I needed. My advice on that would be just do a bit of live streams, focus on some engaging long form content, and that may be able to help you. Next, you need to think of affiliate marketing. Now, you can do this even without being monetized on YouTube. Make sure that you have in your descriptions that some of your links may be affiliate links, and that defends you. But then these affiliate links can be anything, really. If you've got a service or a product that you use on a regular basis, then you can link to it in the description and that will help you. You can also have some kind of arrangement with other companies. Now, for example, I'm sponsored by TubeBuddy. Their affiliate link helps me gain funding from week to week, month to month. Every time that you use that link, you'll get a kind of discount if you use my discount code, which is Alan's Buddy, and I'll get a kickback for everyone that goes in there and signs up and pays. Now, there is easier ways of doing something similar. Like, Amazon has its own affiliate program. You sign up for Amazon, you link in the description all of your equipment, you know, your cameras, your microphones, that kind of thing, your laptops. And then every time somebody clicks through and looks at that and then buys something, you'll get a slice of the pie. Now, the advantage of Amazon is that they have long-standing cookies and they have a site-wide thing. So they may have clicked onto the specific microphone you've suggested, but then they've got off and got distracted and they've bought nappies and a book and a wrestling DVD. And because you sent them to Google, and you've sent them, because you've sent them to Amazon, your cookie is given the respect, the token, the praise for you sending them to Amazon at that time to spark a shopping session, and you'll get a percentage of the sale, anywhere between 5 and 20%. Now, I know that people such as Roberto Blake and Sean Cannell of Video Influencers do really well on that. They are either suggesting specific cameras or they're suggesting specific laptops. And if you imagine you buy a £2,000 laptop and there's a 20% thank you fee, there's anywhere between £200 and £400 there. So affiliate marketing can really work. Sponsorships is the next thing. So will you have a company come to you and go, hi, can you mention our product or our service and we'll give you X amount of dollars? Or, you know, we'll give you a free product for you to review and you can keep it. Now, these are a little harder to come by unless you're hustling for them. Unless you're going out your way to contact specific companies saying, hi, I'm Alan, I've got 1 million views on YouTube, I have nearly 10,000 subscribers, my demographic is blah, blah. I think that this would really help your product. I think we can really work together. I can explain why your memory card is so great, and I can explain why your camera is the best thing for us to use. I can explain why your specific CRM or your specific whatever helps make my life easier when making content. I think my audience would really like it. How about we work together? And then you hash out that deal, whether they pay you, whether they give you a product, whether they pay you and give you a product, whether it's recursive. So therefore, every time someone goes to that video and then buys through you and that link's always active and then it becomes like an affiliate stroke sponsorship, then that's always good. The more tendrils you get into that, the better. I mean, if they respect you enough to pay you, give you a product, and to give you an affiliate link, so therefore that you continue to make money off of the back of it, then great. You can go out of your way to find sponsorships through places like Famebit. But sponsorships are fickle. Sponsorships are one of those things that you either hustle really, really hard to get them, or you hit 20, 30, 50,000 subscribers and then they throw themselves at you and you have to continue to say no. All I suggest is that don't sell yourself short. You've got to remember that your video may get 2, 3, 4,000 views over the lifetime of that video ever existing, or maybe even more. And if you've got a product that's free that costs £15, say a microphone, and you've made this video, they've really done a number on you, because they've got thousands and thousands of eyes on one product that costs 15 quid. Effectively, they've given you a product and you've made them a video for £15. Rather than, you know, charging them for the time of creating the video, explaining the video, distributing that video, right? Are you getting your money's worth in time? Now, I understand that you might want to build up a back catalogue of reviews so you can point at people and go, look, this is how I review products, I can review a product for you, right? But you also don't want to be taken for a ride. If you want to build up a back catalogue of reviews, start reviewing stuff that's already in your equipment. So I'm gonna go through and review my camera and my microphones and my webcam and my laptop, because they're already in my life and someone hasn't, you know, abused me by giving me a free product and then getting £1,000 worth of like media coverage in the long run. Now, I know that sounds weird, especially if you're sat there with 200 or 300 subscribers and you're like, oh, I'd love to get a free product. Oh, how cool is that? You just need to learn to value yourself, because they're getting more out of you than you realize. Now, a digital product is also a good way to make money online. This is you creating your own product or an ebook of some kind and then pushing people in that direction. A digital product could also be a training course or a downloadable graphic or something that adds value to somebody's life. I have a free ebook. You go to alanspicer.com/ebook and it's 10 tips on how to start and grow a YouTube channel. I give that away for free. Now, there is a little caveat. You go to my site, you give me your email address, I now have your email address, and I can chat with you for forever and a day. I sign you up to a newsletter that you can sign out of in the long run, but that's a way to build your brand. It's also a way to make money in a sneaky little way. Not off the person that signed up for the free ebook, but when you get offered that sponsorship, when you get offered those affiliate marketing, the value of your push has changed, because not only are you saying, I'll put you in a video, I'll share you on Facebook, you can also say now, and I'll push you to my 200, 300, 400 active newsletter followers, thousands of newsletter followers, whatever. It adds a dimension to the amount of money you can make them, which is the amount of money that they pay you in return. Digital products also cut out the middleman. Like, if you've got your own training course, if you've got your own template, if you've got your own something that you can send them digitally, then you can make it once and sell it over and over and over and over and over again, and it returns its investments tenfold over, if not many, many more, over the lifetime of that product. And you can build on that as well. A good example is Roberto Blake initially did a pack where he'd give you some thumbnail templates, and then he's built on top of that package thumbnail templates and banners and paint shop pro tips and stuff like that. So at the end of the day, a digital product is a good way to get your foot in the door. You can then sorry, I'm dying of the sore throat and the sniffles. That digital product could be a foot in the door, and then you can understand what your client needs, what they want going forward, and then from there you can create more and more products, pushing people more and more into content. And every sale that you make in that fashion is more money in your pocket rather than a percentage of a sale that goes into somebody else's pocket. The next step to consider is merchandise. Have you got a dedicated audience enough? Have you got an idea in your head of something that you could sell to your audience? It could be something as simple as something physical that helps them. It could be a poster. It could be a t-shirt, a mug, a hat, or something very, very related to you. Now, if you have a look at Vsauce, for example, they did a curiosity box, which is like a loot box, but for sciencey people. You have DFTBA Records, which is owned by Hank Green, that also does SciShow and stuff, and they sell very specific things. They did curious gifts coming up to Christmas, scientific stuff. They create their own games, they create their own book club. So merchandise is a very good way of going. You can have a look at things like Teespring or Spreadshirt, which will help you. It's completely free. You sign up, you upload your designs, you push clients and customers in that direction, and they buy your t-shirt, and you get a percentage of the profit. You've not laid out any money. You've not had to buy t-shirts for them to print on. They do all the legwork, and you get a cut. The more you sell, the more money you will make. Now, I honestly suggest that's a good way to get started. Get your foot in that door. Unless you have the ability to create your own merchandise in that fashion. and you can always consider making money online through freelance client work. Now, I have 350 odd videos on YouTube. I have just passed 1 million views. I've been on social media platforms and YouTube for around about 5, 6, 7 years. I've been in the web development world for about 12, 13 years at this point. So what I've done is I've used my YouTube channel as a rolling portfolio. You'll continue to see me give you advice on how to grow your YouTube channel and your social media. And hopefully over time I win your trust. And then whilst winning your trust, you then come to me for services that I provide, whether it's a full deep dive channel report, whether it happens to be consulting, stepping you through every detail of your channel that you need to do right and need to do wrong, or rolling basis where I mentor you from month to month, teaching you what you need to do on a one-on-one basis, nudging you, no, try this, change that in your videos in future. Have a look at this niche. How about we push that way? How about you make these videos because that did really well? So what happens is I use my YouTube channel as a magnet. I put out the content for free. I help as many people as possible. And if you like me and trust me, you get in touch. Now, this could be you. I mean, if you want one-on-one help from me, just reach out. Go to my contact page, email me. We can talk, right? I'm flexible, right? It could be as little as $100 a month, all the way up to you want my dedicated direct laser focus on you and your growth, and we talk about how much you're willing to spend on a budget. Or I can generate a report for you, a one-off fee of, I don't know, a couple of hundred bucks, And then you get a very detailed, in-depth report of everything you're doing right and wrong. A title, a description, a video, your tags, what features you are or aren't using. But that's the same with anything. Do you have a skill that you can offer that hooks people in? And you can hook them in through social media, through YouTube, through Twitter, through Instagram. And then you can sell to those clients. And that's how you can make more money online on YouTube. Just hooking people in, getting them into your funnel. I hate using that word because it's starting to become very get-rich-quick schemey. But at the end of the day, there are more ways to make money online than you realised. All you have to do is reach out, do the work, do the legwork, and you will make the money. Thank you for listening to the Start Creating podcast. If you want more tips, tricks and advice from Alan Spicer, that's me, then go to youtube.com/Alan Spicer and subscribe. You can also find me on Instagram, Facebook and Twitter. See you soon. Go out there, start creating.